Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Are you ready over there, Mark? Can I start? Yeah. Excellent. Well, let's start with that question that's up on the screen. Just make sure my clicker works. There we go. But question up on the screen there. Are you good at waiting? Not all the time? How about when you're driving in the car and you're stuck in traffic and you're meant to be somewhere? You good at waiting? Supermarket, you've got two things in your hands, but you're stuck behind someone who's got a massive trolley full. Are you good at waiting? Or do you want everything to be ready now? Do you want to be where you need to be when you want to be there?
I'm getting stressed
just thinking about it. Do you find that time goes really slow when you're stuck behind that person, whether it's in traffic or at the supermarket? You're like, oh, come on, just can't wait for this to be over. My grandmother, you know, the sayings of your grandparents. My grandmother used to say, a watched pot never boils. And that always comes to mind when I'm waiting and time is going really, really slow. But we have to wait for things, don't we? There's only, you know, you have to wait for that person in front of you to move. We have to wait for our birthday to come. We have to wait for us to finish school. You know, there's all sorts of milestones that we can't rush. We have to wait. And in this sort of Christmas season, this Advent season, we're waiting. We've had Jesus come once, 2,000 years ago, and yet we're waiting for him to return. And so I'd love to unpack tonight just a little bit of Advent, what it is to wait, but also looking at hope. Whilst we wait, we're called to have hope. So hopefully it's an encouraging word tonight. I'm not too sure where it's going to go, but there's lots of different places it could go. But I hope you're encouraged. But as we wait, that we have hope that is in the Lord. You know, this Christmas will be the... What's the date today? 11th? 12th? 11th? Great. So we're a few days away from Christmas. But at Christmas, what do we remember? Shout it out, someone. Birth of Jesus. Thank you. We remember that Jesus became a man for us, that God became a human for our sake. But we also look forward. So I'll just flick to this next slide. We look forward to him coming again. So Advent from a Latin word means to come. So we got really, really creative when we came up with Advent for Christmas. You know, Christmas is to come. But there's a tension there between he's already come, he's already established parts of the kingdom, and yet, you know, the world isn't restored. We don't have, as Mel referenced, there are still tears. We're not at that point yet where we're in paradise with our Creator. So we've got a tension. I think there's a tension. Hopefully you think there's a tension as well. And I think I focus a lot on the not yet. Will this work? There we go. The not yet. So I've got it's an underrealized eschatology. Yeah. I focus a lot on what could be. I'm not focusing on the now as much as I possibly should, because I let things in my life get me down. You know, whatever's currently going on in my world, I let it knock me about a bit. My moods, my emotions, they go up and down based on what's happening, whether it's been a good week, whether I'm tired, whether my relationships are going really well, or whether they're going really poorly. And so my outlook on life is sort of dependent on the situation. It's not really secure independently from the situation. So that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how we can actually have a hope that is completely independent of the situation, completely independent of what's going on in our lives, because it's a hope that is built on Jesus. So I've shared a little bit generally about how I'm feeling, you know, based on my week. I've had a big week. I'm feeling fatigued. We had a youth summer camp, which was a lot of fun. But it's hard to, well, for me anyway, it's hard for me to then look forward to something else, because my mind is being taken up, all my capacity is being taken up by something. So I want to ask you right now to answer that question. Where is your hope level at? Your hope in Jesus, your hope in the goodness that he brings and his beauty that we just sung about. See, as I was preparing for this message, I sort of felt that I was conflating or using hope and optimism to mean the same thing. And as I was looking at the difference between hope and optimism, I came across a journal article and the study of secular guys from the Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology. They surveyed a whole lot of people and they tried to figure out what's the difference between being hopeful or being optimistic. And what they, these were their findings. Hope focuses more directly on personal attainment of specific goals, whereas optimism focuses broadly on the expected quality of future outcomes. In other words, optimism is the belief that things are going to turn out all right, but hope doesn't make the assumption that things will turn out all right. Hope has within it a built-in conviction that we can do something to change the outcome. We can do something to make it better. In other words, there is agency in hope. There is people involved in creating hope. It's not just reliant on a wishful thinking. As Christians, this is our expectation, that the agent at work, that the person at work is God. So we can have hope because of God, because he is a good God, and he loves us, and he promises good things for us. So this is a working definition of Christian hope, the expectation of coming good based on the person and the promises of God. See, it's not about my expectation of good that'll happen based on what I want to happen. Does that make sense? Not about what I want. It's actually about what God wants. And that's the Christian basis for hope. We can have this hope because even though humanity rejected him, he's made a way for us to get back into relationship with him. But I want to put you in the shoes of the Israelites, of the Hebrew people. They were waiting quite a while for their Savior. They were waiting quite a while for the promise to be fulfilled. So if you look at the timeline just up on the screen there, this is very rough, but if we run through very quickly, we've got Noah's Ark, Tower of Babel, Egypt, sort of somewhere between the 1800s and 1500s, going through to Judges, Kings, and all the prophets to 400 BC. And then you've got the intertestamental period, or the silence of God from about 400 BC through to when Jesus comes. And they were given promises in those times. So let's read one of them together. Genesis 49:10. This is a promise about the Messiah. So this is what the people of Israel could hope for in the future. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nation shall be his. So that's Genesis. Then in Samuel, this is about the time of David. Genesis is the patriarchs. It's just after Abraham. So this is now the time of David. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. It's a promise from the prophet Samuel to King David. Again, talking about the coming Messiah. There's more references in Isaiah. We're pretty familiar, if you've been around church, particularly at Christmas, with that Isaiah passage, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's a good one. And so the Israelites, throughout their entire history, they've been told that there would be a Messiah coming. But life hasn't been great for them all. Time in Egypt, where they were slaves in captivity, the time in exile down here, time of the judges, where everyone did what they wanted in their own eyes. It's not a really uplifting sort of timeline of history. Lots of bad things are happening all throughout. Yet throughout all of the things that are happening, both good and bad, but a lot of bad, they have this hope. They have this promise. There is this expectation that a Messiah will come. We can see that he fulfilled his promise when he sent Jesus. but they had to wait a while. If you're one of the Egyptians, you're waiting somewhere between 1500 and 1800 years. If you're one of the, in the minor prophet areas, maybe you're 500 or 600 years. That's quite a while to wait. It's definitely more than my lifetime, more than your lifetime, more than anyone's lifetime. So this idea of having to wait or having to suffer through a situation is very common throughout human history. I think it's just our recent societal idea that we can have everything instantly that's really skewing our perspective on it. Is anyone a member of Amazon where you get next day delivery? I had that a free trial for like 2 weeks. It was great. I bought too much stuff. But it was just really, really convenient. You just click and it comes the next day. And we live in this instant world. And so, you know, ordering something online and it taking 3 weeks to get here, wow, that's really slow. It's only 3 weeks. I was living great without it before, and now all of a sudden I really, really need this. And so I just want to emphasize that waiting is normal. Suffering or having to sit in that moment of waiting is normal as well. But it's how we respond to that that's really important. So now let's jump forward. The Israelites have been waiting for a very long time for this coming Messiah, and the Messiah is nearly here. So let's read together Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." This is Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant," she answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. It's a beautiful passage. It confirms a number of the prophecies that we read before from Genesis, from Samuel, and from Isaiah. This person will be from the line of King David, and his throne would be established forever. So it's Luke, the author, is really taking pain to say, this is going to be the Messiah. This is the one that you've been waiting for. It's finally happening. And we also get insight into what this child will be called. He'll have the name Jesus, or Yeshua, as we've just sung, which means the Lord saves, the Lord delivers. And so it's a beautiful preemptive. It's great that Mary gets a heads up that this is all going to happen. It's still very, very, very unexpected. I just wonder, can you think of a time? So the people of Israel have been waiting for a very, very long time, 2,000 or less years, for this to happen. Finally coming, yet it doesn't look like what they expected it to look like. Different people would have had different ideas of what the Messiah coming meant. Would it be a priest in the order of Levi? Would it be a king coming? Would it be a second David who was a shepherd and then was called up to be king? Now, what would the Messiah look like? Everyone had different ideas, but they probably weren't thinking, you know, born to a teenage virgin from Nazareth. That probably wasn't on the list of what they were thinking. So can you think of a time where something you were building up in your mind, something you're really looking forward to, was going to happen, moment finally arrived, and it's not what you expected? Good or bad? Like it was like, oh, that's different. I can remember when I was studying, I really wanted to finish, and I was looking forward to finishing my fourth year, and it was going to be a great moment to change life stages, to go from studying to working, And then it happened, and I went, well, wow, now I'm just working. It's, you know, it's still me in the midst of the situation, it's still me in that scenario. And so my expectation, I built these things up, and then it happened a different way to what I was expecting. And as I reflected on this story of Mary, I mean, we know that the Israelite people would have expected this king to come in a different way, to come and just sweep in on the clouds and rescue their nation. But I think the biggest, I've gone blank on the word, the most unexpected element of this is that God used us. God used humanity to fulfill his purposes. Because he could have intervened. Just in his divine will, could have made something happen. But he chose to work through Mary, chose to work through people to bring about his will. God invited humanity into his plan, and her response is absolutely wonderful. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. Her response to God's invitation? Yes, Lord. Just like we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. I just want to quickly summarize and regroup, because I know I've talked about a lot of different things. So just to summarize before we move on, we can have hope because of who God is and what he's done in the past. He's proven himself time and time again, and he's ultimately proved himself in delivering on his promise to send the Messiah, to send Jesus. So we can have hope that he's going to send him back, because he's promised to send him back, promised to return. In a crazy way, he invites us into his plans. He doesn't just decide what he wants to do and make it happen. He uses people to make it happen. And I just wonder, through all that, what is our response? You know, how can we have hope? You know, I think I mentioned before, I'm often distracted by what's going on in front of me. I often take my eyes off the bigger picture of what God's doing, or I'm overwhelmed by my situation, not thinking about the bigger picture that's going on, not thinking about what God's doing over 10, 20, 30 years. And that's pretty normal. That's most people I talk to. We're caught up in our own life. It's very natural, and it's good to be present and to be thinking about what's going on right now. But I think when we think about hope, often we can think, oh, I've got hope for the future. Like, I know I've got salvation. I know Jesus is coming back. And so we're living with this sort of optimism, like I read before. Like, it's going to work out in the end. It's not living from a point of, actually, God has agency, and he's inviting me in his agency for me to have agency as well. Saying, yep, I'm going to go to heaven. Doesn't matter what I do now. Rather than saying, God, how do you want to use me now? What would you like for me to do? Eugene Peterson writes pretty well, I think, on this topic. He says, hope is not about the future. It's actually about the present. It obviously has to do with the future, but it's a virtue which is cultivated in the present. It fills the present with energy. It connects the two comings of Jesus so that we now participate in them. We're not just remembering one and believing the other. We're participating in the continuity of the comings. It's not only about the future. It's about the now. We get invited to bring the kingdom where we are, to take the Holy Spirit into every part of our lives. And that's what hope is. Well, that's what hope brings. That's what hope drives within us. It's the energy, the motivation, the strength. I'm reminded of that verse, and please help me out because I'll mess it up, but those whose hope is in the Lord shall renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. Something about soaring on wings of eagles in there as well. Our hope is our strength. The hope that we have in Jesus is what motivates us to get through the really tough times, in that waiting, in that moment where life is tough and we know that it's going to be good at the end. But we've still got to get through this moment. For the exiles living in captivity, for those living in the time of the judges where everyone just did what they wanted, for us living now in this pretty dark society, we can wait with hope. That hope in Jesus is what motivates us to keep going. the take home for me, the thing that hit me as I was reading, is as we wait, we need to wait expectantly, expecting that God will move, knowing with surety that he will return, but in that knowing with that assurity that he's also strengthening, he's giving us the power through the Holy Spirit to do what he's asking us to do. I think I've got another verse there, Hebrews 6. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than for himself to swear by, he swore by himself saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of this hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. There's this action of going to claim this hope. It's not a passive thing, the hope just comes, but we take hold of it through what we believe. We have this hope we refer to here, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. We have this hope, I'll paraphrase the second, but we have this hope as the anchor for the soul, firm and secure, because Jesus has atoned for our sin, because Jesus has made a way for us to come back to the Father. That's the hope that we have, and that's the hope that motivates us to answer when God asks us to do something. I think the most helpful way for me to finish is with an illustration. As we come into Christmas, we've been talking about time of waiting. We remember the first time Jesus came, we celebrate his birth. We look forward to him coming again, but we're in this tension between the already and the not yet. But as we come to Christmas and we remember these things and we look forward to what's happening next, how do we live? We know we follow the Bible. We know we're called to follow Jesus, to pray, to grow in our relationships in that. But this illustration helped me boil it down. It's from Tertullian, who was from the 2nd, 3rd century. He says, hope is patience with the lamp lit. I had to look up what he was referring to because I have no idea what that means. But hopefully when we get the image of this lamp, it'll stick in your minds like it's stuck in mine. Hope is patience with the lamp lit. It's waiting patiently no matter what your context is. We light a lamp because we're in darkness. So hope is waiting patiently in the darkness, having lit a lamp. The lamp means we're ready to go. We're ready to move. We can see in the darkness. We can see our way forward. So we're waiting patiently, but we're ready to move expectantly. The second imagery, and it's a different image. Hope is waiting patiently with that light source. It's a light source that illuminates the darkness, that illuminates everything that's going on, which means we can bring that light to other people. We can take our light into the dark places and show people who Jesus is. It's a really, really opportune time during Christmas to do that. So my encouragement to you, my encouragement to me is, no matter what your context is, we can have hope because of what Jesus has done, because of who God is and the promises that he's made. And now with that hope motivating us, strengthening us, guiding us, we now take that light out with us. That was a great story from Wendy, just sharing with her friend. And we all have opportunities like that to expectantly wait for God to give us opportunities and for us to step into those opportunities. Would you pray with me just to close? Lord, I thank you that you are our Savior, you are our Deliverer. Lord, thank you that you are faithful, that you keep all of your promises. I just pray for each of us. Lord, whether we have a really happy Christmas coming up, or whether we have a really tough Christmas coming up, Lord, that we can fix our eyes to you, we can have that eternal hope, that surety in you, and we can use that to motivate us, to strengthen us, to live through these moments, whether they're good or whether they're bad. And Lord, thank you that you partner with us. Thank you that you invite us to do your will. May our response to you always be, I am your servant. May what you said to me come to pass. Lord, thank you for our community. And Lord, bless each person. May they experience something of your Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit speaking to them with a way that they can be encouraged to have hope, to look to you as things come up in their lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.